Turn to Exodus. Exodus chapter 24 for one section of scripture, and then we'll go to chapter 32 for the message. Exodus chapter 24. Now the children of Israel are out of Egypt, and they're at the base of Sinai, and they're holding there. It says in Exodus 24, and we'll start reading in verse 12, and the Lord said unto Moses, come up unto me into the mount, and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and the law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them, the people that are at the bottom, the base of the mountain. And Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God, and he said unto the elders, tarry here for us until we come again unto you, and behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matter to do, let him come unto them. And Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, the Lord called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. So they could see this. It's a pretty grand sight. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud, just him by himself. Apparently the elders on the first section, the first tier, then Moses and Joshua, and now Moses is all alone. And Moses went into the mount, midst of the cloud, and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Now, before he goes up there, he's talking to the children of Israel back in the earlier part of this chapter. And it says in verse 3 of Exodus 24, and Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord of the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice. This is what they said. All the words which the Lord has said, we will do. And look at verse 7. And Moses took the book of the covenant and read it to the audience of the people. And all the people said, all that the Lord has said, we will do, and we will be obedient. Now turn to Exodus 32. Exodus chapter 32. Exodus 32, verse 1, and then we'll jump forward a little bit. And when the people, now Moses is up there, 40 days and 40 nights, he's still up there. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron, because Aaron was, they had an issue, they were supposed to go to Aaron. And they said unto Aaron, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. Verse 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, get thee down, for thy people, which you brought out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. That's you and me. All the time. They specifically have turned aside quickly. That word, I looked it up before we started. They were hurried. They were in a hurry to sin. And aren't we that way? They has turned aside quickly. Out of the way which I commanded them, they have made a molten calf and worshipped it and sacrificed thereunto and said, these be our God, thy gods, O Israel, which has brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Now you talk about just in your face. God brought them out, but now they're attributing this to this calf. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make thee a great nation. And we'll stop reading there. Well, let's look at verses 25 through 29. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, so he comes down off the mountain. Here we pick up Moses sees the people that are naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto Moses. And Moses said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side and go in and out from the gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, every man his companion, every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses. And there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. For Moses had said, consecrate yourselves today unto the Lord, every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. Well, we'll stop there. So, as I'm looking at this and I'm thinking about this, I get to thinking, how long was it from Egypt to Sinai? How long was it that they had seen the plagues? And the last plague, where God spared everyone of the Israelites, the firstborn, and killed everything, whether it was a beast, man, beast, whatever, from the household of Pharaoh down to the one who works the stalls. That was the last plague. And then Pharaoh said, get out of here. Okay, they saw that. Then as they're walking, then they come to the Red Sea, and then they see the army of Pharaoh coming. And God, and Moses says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And they saw. Seeing is believing? No. Believing is seeing from the heart. So they saw the waters opened, a sea, and it said the ground was like dry land. They just walked right over, just like it was dirt. Not mud, dirt. Walked through it, turned around. Pharaoh's great army, they saw all of them wash on the shore. They saw that. They saw the cloudy pillar and the fire. And now they're at the base of Sinai. So we know, I wonder how many days it was. I couldn't get a straight answer from really any commentary. We know it's at least 40 days because Moses was up in the mountain 40 days. So it wasn't that long. It was a little over a month. A little over a month. On the heels of these Israelites seeing such wonders that had never been seen or witnessed, to this corruption. They corrupted themselves. To seeing the mercy and marvel and wonders of God's grace, which we do every time we gather together. And every time you open the book in private study. But every time we gather together in public worship, we hear of the glory of God. Matt reads from the book. Anywhere he reads, even if it was a genealogy, it would be the glory of God in there. We hear that every Sunday. We see it and we hear it every Wednesday. So, from the heels of seeing such wonders, never before seen, to corrupting themselves at the base camp at Sinai, sin has reared its ugly head over and over again. What about us here today? Where's our mind? Is our mind here now, or is it what we're going to be doing after service? Or what are we going to be doing tomorrow? Where are we at? We promise many things, some which will never happen or may never happen like we planned. But the point is that sin follows us everywhere. Sin makes a wreck of our very existence. My question is, you see this here? We see our own lives, our own hearts. We see the lives of others. what can be done, or I should say, what has been done. Look at verse 31 and 32 of this chapter. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people of God, unto the people of Israel, you have sinned a great sin. And now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. Moses, as a type of Christ, that's exactly what our Lord did for us. He went up to God. He was received of God to make an atonement for sin. Now we keep reading. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, this is Moses speaking, this is our intercessor, if thou wilt forgive their sin, if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book, which you have written. Christ was made a curse for people who hurriedly, quickly, eagerly went out of the way. We still do that. If you don't know Christ, you are in the middle of this. This is what you do all the time. So what can be done? What has been done? Well, the short answer is nothing. We can't do a thing. We can't do anything. We have to cease from our works. I come into church, I'm praying, I'm reading my Bible. All these things are good and necessary, but they won't save you. Christ is the Savior. You flee to Him. So in the short answer is from us, nothing. Nothing by us will ever satisfy all the wrongs we have done and all that we are by birth, by nature, and practice. However, the true spiritual answer is found in these three verses. The Lord Jesus Christ has gone up and has made atonement. Now, Moses is trying to make atonement. Christ did make atonement. Moses, it didn't die. Christ did sufficiently sacrifice himself. Now let's look at a few points. Moses is a wonderful type of Christ. Look at with me at verses 11, 12, and 13 of the same chapter. 11, 12, 13. And Moses besought the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, why does your wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce anger and repent this evil against thy people. Now this is, he's already starting to intercede right here. He's already doing this. And look at what he says in verse 10. Now God says to Moses, let me alone. My wrath may wax hot against them. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to wipe all them out and I'm going to consume them and I'm going to make you a great nation. The first thing I see here, Moses is a wonderful type of Christ. He's a man of selfless honor and merit. God said, I'm going to destroy them and I'm going to raise to you a people. Now, when Christ died, he died for his people. But Moses, I'm going to start all over. Moses is saying that he would rather decrease and God would help them. He would rather decrease. He would not seek his own glory, but the glory of his Father. That's what he's saying in verse 10. I'm going to do this and I'm going to make you a great nation. No. It's not about me. It's about your people. The second thing, well, Christ was always seeking His Father's honor and promotion. He was never seeking His own. From the Scriptures, the New Testament, we know this. His people are just simply sinners saved by grace. We're often unthankful, ungrateful, the world seeking, and always undeserving. Yet, Christ, through this picture of Moses, will atone for us, fully knowing the consequences of His actions. Death on the tree. And Christ was fully aware of what the Scripture said. Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Galatians 3:13. Second, how Moses is a type of Christ. Moses petitions for his people on the basis of the Father's covenant promises. He besought the Lord, verse 11, why are you going to do this? You're going to bespeckle your name. Your name won't be held in glory throughout the rest of the world. And Egypt was probably one of the largest countries in the world at that time. So it is with the Son of God, who would honor God's covenant promises to both God and our behalf. All we can do is sin upon sin, more and more. But Christ, born of a woman, made under the law, came to redeem those under the law and to set the captives free. Galatians 4:4-5. The word redeem is to buy back, which perfectly fits with electing grace, electing love. But He's pleading His promise. He's saying, wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did He bring them out? Verse 13, remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. He's talking about the covenant. That's the third point. He, as it were, reminds God, and I speak humanly, to break any of His own promises or His own covenant would bring reproach to His name. So Moses is a type of Christ. He didn't seek His own. He didn't save Himself. He died to save us, to save His people. The covenant cannot be broken, and the promises are sure. And Moses is, I don't know what was said. Nobody knows what was said when Christ went to Gethsemane and sweat great drops of blood. He may have been saying this, I don't know. But he was successful. And I just saw this morning, and we won't have to turn back, but another way in which Moses is the type of Christ is back in chapter 24 and verse 16, when it says Moses went up and sat there. It didn't say he sat there, but he went there six days. Day one, day two, and God wasn't speaking with him. And he says on the seventh day, and that's verse 16 if you want to take a look at it, he was a man of patience. Scripture says, in patience, possess ye your souls. He had a baptism with. He was in a straight and fixed, and he didn't hurry it. It was, everything was going according to God's foreordained plan. Patient. We want stuff just like that. Could we have sat 6 days? He didn't know he was going to answer him on the seventh day. He sat there for 6 days. Then God called him. He stayed basically and waited till Jehovah commanded him. Either all the promises of God are truly yes and amen in Christ, or they are not. If they're not, then we have no. But if they are in Christ, we don't even need so much to say, but Lord, you promised this to me. We could say, Lord, this is what you promised your son. And he has to listen. He has to. Because the covenant cannot be broken, and God's promises can't be broken. So when there's times you don't know how to pray or what to pray, or I'm not sure if this is a promise about me and my children or my neighbors or family, mother, father. I don't know if this is, Lord, you promised your son that you came to seek and to save sinners. That's what Spurgeon would say, taking these things and kind of turning them back to God, using God's own words for power in prayer or for leverage. I don't know how to phrase it. Humanly, it's awkward. You know what I'm saying? There's so many scriptures that fit everyday situations. Well, let's look at another scripture, which points to the atoning work of Moses as a type of Christ, or simply Christ's mediatorial accomplishments. Look at Psalms 106. Describing this situation that we've just read in Exodus 24 and Exodus 32 and the whole thing, Psalms 106, let's start in verse 19 and we'll go to verse 23, and 23 is what I want to look at. Verse 19, they made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. They forgat God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. But here we go. Therefore, he said that he, God, would destroy them, had not Moses, his chosen, we know who the chosen one is, Christ, stood before him in the breach. You know what that dash and that semicolon, that's the breach. To turn away God's wrath lest he should destroy them. Moses, his chosen, stood before the Father in the breach. Between heaven and hell, as it were, between God and us. That word breach specifically means a break. And yes, indeed, all of us, broke fellowship in the garden with the Father, with our Savior, our Creator, our Sustainer, by the utter foolishness of our sins, our iniquities, and our transgressions. And we cannot undo what we have done. Nay, we don't even want to. We're in a hurry to sin. But blessed be the Lord Jesus Christ, who has stood in our place, received the condemnation due us, and we're set at liberty to serve, worship, and adore him, who is everything to us. He stood in the breach. Ezekiel 22. And I bring this up for the one word. Ezekiel 32. Ezekiel 22. Ezekiel 22 and starting in verse 23. This is the word of the Lord came unto me saying, skip down to verse 29 and 30. The people of the land have used oppression and exercise robbery. They have vexed the poor needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. They're like the children of Israel. They're like us. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Now that word gap is the only place used. And it's the same word as breach. It's the same word. It's peretz. P-E-H-R-E-T-S. It's the same word as in Psalms 106. That gap. God must be appeased. He is too holy even to look at sin. Habakkuk 1:13. Sin has to be dealt with either on us or on His Son for us. Now the scary thing, the beautiful thing about his Exodus is that Moses, he did enter, he was successful. The scary thing is in this one, this is to show us the other side of God, so to speak, humanly speaking. This shows His justice. There's got to be somebody to stand in the gap. He's got to stand in that breach. He's got to take everything that God will dish out to satisfy Himself, His law, His holiness, His righteousness, His justice. If God doesn't find anybody, if God does not have one, I should destroy it. That's what's going to happen. He's going to destroy all those who are not found in Christ. If God finds none to stand in the gap, destruction is the result. So I beseech us, all of us, sue God for mercy undeserved. It could be that you and I are the sinners for whom God in Christ Jesus was made to be sin. It could be God will be gracious and hear our cry. It could be God will be known in compassion and sovereign love this day. Look to Him and live. Whether we are saints or sinners, we all have the same need. We need somebody to stand in the gap, to stand in the breach for us. Thank the Lord Jesus Christ for His mercy endures forever. Bruce, would you close us?